Programmatic recruiting. It's a phrase I'm sure you've heard a bunch of times, but what does it really entail and what impact can it have on your business? We'll talk about that on this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. Secrets of Staffing Success is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. Right now, we're offering two great deals. First, Google Mastery, where we'll get you to the top of search results and on more than 2 million websites in Google's advertising network. And second, our social visibility that includes custom blog writing, our award-winning Social Pro services, and reputation management services, plus free videos and free monthly social media training for your staff. To learn more about these two great deals from Haley Marketing, please call us at 888-696-2900.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski. And now, here's Todd.
Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the Senior Vice President of Strategy at AppCast. She is Leah Daniels. Leah, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me. It's great.
Well, before we get into it, if you wouldn't mind just giving us your 60-second elevator pitch of AppCast and what you guys all do.
Wow, it's the pressure right there. So AppCast is out to change the way companies think about acquiring candidates through your job board and internet points of access, right? And so we really think about it in two ways. One, getting your job out to all the places where you can find every candidate that you're really looking for is really hard to do. There are a lot of sites. And so we've created a job ad exchange, try to help organizations easily get jobs to where they need to be based on whatever is happening out in the market and where those kinds of candidates might currently be accessing job postings. But that alone isn't quite enough. And so we also work with organizations to layer on something we call programmatic technology. And that programmatic technology allows us to take that ad exchange or really any job site you can imagine and live by rules that the customer, the person buying these job ads, provides, such as how many candidates they might need or what their budget might look like. And then the software uses all this data that it has access to create almost like a balancing act to make sure the right money goes to the right places, to make sure the right candidates show up at your jobs, and, you know, magic happens, fireworks, the whole thing.
I want to dive a little bit more into the programmatic side of things too, because, you know, it's one of those, obviously, a service that, you know, we are promoting here at Haley Marketing. But I think there's still some confusion out there among the industry about what really is programmatic recruiting. So how would you characterize programmatic recruiting?
It's something that already has a definition in the wider market. The marketing companies have been doing programmatic ad buying forever and a day. And you'd see that typically in Google AdWords, where you put in your max bid, you say which kind of keywords you're after, and some magic happens, and then clicks happen, and you pay for them, and then you get leads. And so that exists, that concept had already existed. But when we tried to move it over to the job ad space, it has some nuance that's a little different. So staffing is more like marketing in that if it's a certain kind of candidate you're interested in, you might take all the leads in the world. But for a lot of companies, they don't need all the leads. They only need a few leads. And so for those organizations or for staffing firms who are trying to only hire for, you know, a one-off position, programmatic gives you the opportunity to say, you know, only give me so many candidates on this particular job and then take it out of circulation. Because jobs, unlike widgets, you don't have an endless amount of them typically. Now, on the other side of the house, so for like our staffing firm friends who really do a lot of pipelining and have similar roles, where programmatic becomes really helpful is identifying where in the market you can get the best source of candidates for you at the best price possible to create that consistency, right? So a lot of times for staffing, the consistency is the biggest challenge. You have these peak months and then you get nothing for candidates and you're sort of trying to figure out why this is about to happen. And having software that can help you figure out and continue to rebalance that market and continue to bring those candidates in for you is really helpful. That sort of helps Bridget.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I know you have, you know, some background in this industry already. You know, what are some of the more common mistakes? Because we're still kind of in the infancy of programmatic recruiting in this industry. What are some of the more common mistakes that you're seeing staffing firms making right now?
Well, the biggest challenge I think most companies have when they test out new software is there's this overall inclination to, let's give us a hard job. Mm. Let me give you the flying purple squirrel job that I can't source for. Right. Maybe you can do a better job. Right? And that's a problem, right? Because it's not how you would actually use it in real life. It's sort of like testing a Ferrari when you know you can't afford one and then getting mad at the Pinto that you buy, right? It's, you're sort of trying to make it do something and be something that it's not. So the programmatic is not your magic solution for your one-off hard-to-fill position. So that's sort of problem one. Second problem is, I think as people who work in this industry, we feel like we're pretty well-educated in how job boards all work, but oftentimes we're pretty surprised by some of the things that we're not taking advantage of. So for a lot of companies, right, they want to get free traffic first, right? We all live and breathe by this organic traffic. And we know that, you know, that's not as easy as it used to be. But oftentimes waiting to find candidates means your jobs are older. Older jobs will get less candidate traffic because job boards will not favor them. And so another challenge of programmatic is the waiting game. I'm going to wait 3 weeks before I actually post this job or 2 weeks before I post this job. And so making sure that you actually capitalize on the opportunities to get better traffic quicker, faster, smarter, rather than hurt yourself unintentionally because you're trying to play this waiting game.
And I love your point about the, you know, giving it the hardest jobs is, you know, we see this a lot with especially marketing tactics that the staffing industry uses, where if it doesn't work right away or if it doesn't work, you know, on the first try, then we need to scrap it and go on to something else. And I think in this industry specifically, there is kind of, we don't have that patience when it comes to certain marketing tactics. So is programmatic one of those instances where we need to give it a couple months for it to really see that return on investment, or give it, you know, multiple jobs before we say, okay, yes, this is something that can work for us or something that doesn't work?
Yep. And it's actually both of those things. So one of the things that programmatic can do, if nothing else, and I think we'll probably talk about this too, is get you data, right? Mm. So that you can get better and smarter. The only way you can get data is if you have something to get data on. So the best way to use programmatic is actually to start, implement it, and change nothing about what you're doing, and get a good baseline. Understand what it is you're doing today and what's your metrics look like? What are your KPIs? What's actually happening in the market? Not what do you feel, but what does the data say? And then start optimizing. That whole process alone is 8 weeks right there, right? So 4 weeks to baseline, 4 weeks to start optimizing and seeing some results of those changes. Part of that too is for most of us, success is a hire, right? And so to have enough time to see that sort of all the way through. So that's sort of step one. The second is, I mentioned this is a balancing act, right? So I look at the programmatic software almost like in the stock market, right? The auto trader desk, you know what I'm talking about? Yep. Not the ones for cars, but the ones where it's automatically making bids and buying stock, right? It's got to watch all these different stocks out in the market, right? Tons of them, more than a human could ever do. And the same thing is true here. You've got to watch lots of job sites more than a human could possibly do. You have to know your goals, right? Your goals, I want to, you know, fairly high risk portfolio, but a little bit of, you know, the bonds and the treasury stuff. The same thing is kind of here too. These are jobs that I want lots of candidates on. They're my pipeline jobs, just go. Where these other jobs, I don't. I actually have a finite amount of spend I want to put on them or a finite number of candidates I want to get them. And it's also need to understand all those sets of goals that you have in order to do a balancing, right? And figure out where can this money go and be the most effective to satisfy both of these different sets of requirements. Same thing is true in stock, right? You have a finite amount of money you're going to put into the stock market, right? Some of it's going to go into the high risk, some's going to go into the low risk, and you got to let the software balance that out and make sure that everything comes out in the wash the way you want it to. But it does, to some degree, move money around automatically, and you got to let it do that.
Well, you mentioned it. Let's get into metrics and data, because I know you're a bit of a data nerd, and I say that with, you know, the utmost respect, and that's a good thing, especially in your position. But you know, let's look at recruiting metrics. What are the most important recruiting metrics to be focused on now? You know, especially with some uncertainty in the economy and everything globally that's happening right now.
That's a great question, and I think If I were to rattle them all off, I'm going to miss something important for sure. And part of it is that there are things you shouldn't measure, and then there are things that this person should measure, but that person shouldn't measure. And part of that's just because you're an organization. But on a very high level, you need to measure, and I'm not saying KPI right now, I'm saying measure. You need to measure clicks. You need to measure applicants. You need to measure quality, right? And that's a big one. I think companies have a desire to measure quality, but most of them don't know how to do it. So we should talk about that. And then you should measure, obviously, hire. So that's sort of step one. And the next step is, how much do you spend? How much money goes to your job sites? How much is going to your sourcing tools, et cetera? And then how many sites and which sites are you sending your jobs out to and spending money on? Sort of a baseline place to begin with. Those are things you measure. But then you want to create are the conversion rates. And this is what's going to tell you what's happening. Because if all of a sudden clicks go up, you might be like, oh my gosh, this is great. But if clicks went up and applicants went down, money spent has gone up, but the applicants have gone down, means your CPA is up and it means your cost per application is up, means your conversion rate is down. That's actually a bad thing and not a good thing. So we want to make sure that what we're tracking, we understand what's just a metric that we track versus the things that tell us that there's an issue or a problem. And conversion rates are really good indicators of good things and bad things. So what is your click to apply rate? What's your click to quality apply? What's your click to hire? What's your application to quality application? What's your application to hire? What's your quality application to hire? Those are all really good conversion events to track. And then what's our cost per applicant? What's our cost per quality applicant? What's our cost per hire? And then divide that again by the different sources that you use. So you're tracking all of those sort of matrix. The other thing to keep in mind, and this is something I think most people don't track and really should start paying attention to, is take everything I just said and break it up by the desktop and the mobile device. Mm. And you might say to me, why would I do that? Well, because the mobile device operates differently. It's actually a different kind of candidate and a different mindset oftentimes, but also just the flow and how they operate. Now, staffing firms in general have done a very good job at creating low friction apply processes. But, and that will tell you that you've got a candidate, but that doesn't tell you if those low friction apply processes have given you quality. And I think you'll find the quality will change on your device. And even if you get super clever by the day of the week that they apply. So weekend applies will look different than Monday applies, for example.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up job boards because I still see a lot of staffing and recruiting firms out there without mobile optimized job boards. You know, what kind of numbers are you seeing in terms of mobile applications and how can, you know, not having the mobile optimized job board affect their recruiting efforts?
So right now, as of 2019, right, which is the most recent set of data, 60% of clicks are coming to the beginning of an apply process from a mobile device, and about 55% of applications. Wow. So what does that mean? That means that more than 50% of people applying for your jobs are coming from a mobile device. But it actually means even more things. One of the things that it's really telling us is that because there's a greater percentage of clicks than applies, there's also a greater percentage of fall off. Mm-hmm. And that's true. So in this market, we're just seeing about a 4.5% apply rate happen in the mobile, where on the desktop, it's closer to 6 and change. So what does that mean? It means that you have to work harder to get a candidate from the mobile device to get to the end of the application, no matter how easy or hard it is. You are inherently going to lose more candidates in that particular flow. The problem is you can't make that stop. Candidates are increasingly coming to our websites on a mobile device. That is by their choice, and you don't get to stop that. So your only option is to create areas of defense to make that application process faster, smoother, quicker, easier, so that the candidates will finish.
And that's something that we have harped on many times on this show, and it's one of the things that I wave my flag for is to make sure that your recruiting process is as easy and seamless as possible. And I always tell clients, go through your own process. Go through your own mobile application. Is it a pain? Do you feel like throwing your phone out the window halfway through? You know, that's so important. And boy, those numbers you gave just speak right to that desktop 6.3.
I just pulled the numbers up.
Yeah.
Refresh my old brain.
Yeah.
6.3% on the desktop and 4.1% right now on the mobile device.
Yes.
So that is, and that they're both trending down, right? So that's the other thing to keep in mind. Why are they both trending down? Well, I would argue that a lot of it has to do with our unemployment rate in 2019 being so dramatically low. People are more fickle. And that we'll see that change as unemployment changes. But at the end of the day, where people start from, that where their origination of the mobile device, I don't think that's going to change. That trend's going to continue where more and more people are finding your jobs via the mobile device.
Such a big part of the staffing industry is those smaller to medium-sized firms. And I think sometimes when owners of those firms hear data, big data, and analyzing and metrics, sometimes they may feel like, you know, I don't have the resources to do this, to gather this data, to analyze data. But, you know, what are some of the things that somebody on a very limited budget can do to gather data and to analyze data?
It depends on what you have available to you, right? And that's part of this game. So if you're using an applicant tracking system or any sort of CRM that allows you to get your candidates into your ATS, there's probably data in there somewhere. It may be part of the challenge is to try to figure out how to get it out. But oftentimes, a lot of this data is available, right? You probably have source tracking. You probably have click-to-apply rate. You probably have cost for hire data. Maybe you have the hires and you have to smash it in with some other data you have to make the click-to-hire data, but you should be able to get there. Your job board friends are almost always willing to provide you with some level of data as well, you have to ask. Alternatively, you could add Google Analytics to your site, which could give you some data to start from. One of the things that I have to caution everybody about, though, is remember that a lot of these things are looking at the world through last touch. And what does that mean? That means when a candidate shows up to your site, they are maybe going to peruse, take a look at what you say about yourself. They may go to Glassdoor, and they may come back to your site and finish the application. Google Analytics, a lot of your ATSs will only see that last moment in time, and they won't necessarily see what brought the candidate there the original time. And so we call that a conversion window. And the problem with that is you might say, wow, look at all this organic traffic. They just came right to my website. I can't believe all these people knew who I was. And that sounds great. But you then in your head say, well, I'm just going to cut off all my job boards. I don't need them. Yep. And then no more candidates show up. And that's a big myth, I think. It's one of these sort of things that the data can create lies if you don't pay attention to how this is all working. And Google Analytics, being a great source for sort of tracking all these conversion events, will create some of that fallacy because you won't see the original source. You'll only see that last touch source. Does that kind of make sense why that can be a dangerous game? Not that you shouldn't track it. All data is good data, but you have to kind of go in with your eyes wide open. The other thing you should always do is try to benchmark yourself against both yourself, so baseline and see how you're doing, but then against the market too. And I would, do myself a disservice if I didn't mention that we have a great benchmark report that just came out from 2019. That's the data I'm referencing that everybody should go download. It's free. It's really interesting and super helpful around what's happening in the market and in the different industries.
Yeah, I had a chance to take a look through that, and there's some really good eye-opening data in there. I definitely suggest checking that out. So we hear the phrase, paralysis by analysis a lot. Now we've got all this information. We've been able to gather it from all these different resources, pull it into one spot. Now I think the next question for a lot of staffing firms is, what do I do with this? What kind of impact can I have on my business by looking at this data?
I do happen to believe that money talks at the end of the day. So you do have to trace it back to that. But you'll find some interesting things in your data. For example, you may find that what your recruiters think, their gut tells them, may not be right. Right? And a lot of times taking the emotion out of it allows you to make better decisions about, for example, your job ads. You may say, oh, I definitely need to place my job on JobSite X because they are really good to us. They have a great deal, whatever it might be. But if you look at the data, you may find that while they produce a lot of, I call them, so you get candidates in two kinds. You have quality candidates and you have calories. Like calories are people you can't hire or don't want to hire or have already rejected, whatever it might be, but they are not placeable, right? And so those are calories. And so you may find that a job site is producing a lot of candidates for you, but they aren't producing anything quality. And the data is going to really help you start to understand where the sources of candidates are in your life that are helping your business go forward versus the ones that are make you feel good because you got people to talk to, but not necessarily people you can hire.
The last thing I want to touch on before I let you go is, you know, a phrase we hear a lot, the vanity metrics. Can you kind of explain what those are and why recruiters should be leery of those?
That's a great one. I'm going to tell you a story. So I did work in staffing technology for a really long time. And I remember meeting with a big staffing firm who was going to remain nameless in this story. And they were really proud of themselves. They had just implemented a new metric, and it was how many emails their recruiters sent out. It was a great metric. They were really excited about it. There were very big numbers involved. The problem with it is it didn't really help them understand if it was a good email or a bad email,
right,
or just a lot of time that their recruiters were doing. They were chasing a metric that didn't provide them any insight or value, right? It was just a metric to say that they were tracking it. And that's what can happen here. So I actually mentioned before clicks. So clicks, I actually think you should track, but you should never pat yourself on the back because the number of clicks went up or down. It's not necessarily telling you anything. It's just something you're tracking, right? It's when those clicks are converting into things. It's the conversion event that is the valuable insight that you pay attention to. So vanity metrics are any sort of number that you chase that without context isn't helping you understand what's happening in your business. And it's a really dangerous thing because companies can get really proud of themselves for having tracked this metric, but you can't really do anything with the information. You can't act upon it. You can't change anything. You can't identify the problem. It just is a data point for the sake of having a data point.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because it's something that we've been doing here over the past year at Hale & Marketing is really trying to look at all sorts of different numbers. And, you know, like I said earlier, you get that paralysis by analysis and you get those numbers. You say, okay, well, you know, you can just look at the straight sales numbers, or you can just look at, you know, a number of clients we have, number of projects we have. But, you know, when you can kind of break it down to, you know, one of the things that we realize is obviously the more time we're on the phone with clients, the more successful our relationship is going to be. So we started tracking number of phone calls that we all make per week. So, you know, yes, it sounds great to say, oh, our sales are up or sales, you know, we've got a whole bunch of clicks or we're sending out a whole bunch of emails. But what does that tell you then? You kind of need to have those leading indicators as opposed to the lagging indicators to really let you know, where are we headed here, especially in a year like 2020, where there's a whole lot of uncertainty coming down right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think anything can be a vanity metric used incorrectly. And so that's why I'm dodging the question a little bit. because it can be anything. But it's really about, does this particular indicator tell you anything? And again, I'm going to go back to my clicks one because I like it as a good example. All of a sudden, you look and your clicks are way up. And you're like, this is amazing. Hmm. But what you didn't think about is it's January 1. Yep. You just got a bunch of new jobs. That just flooded the system. You just reopened all your budgets from some of your job sites that you had tapped out. December is a low month anyway, right? We all don't spend a ton of money in just December. And so you're sort of got a false indicator in this high number in January, where, again, if you watch the conversion rate, if your conversion rate in January is typically 5%, and right now it's running at 2%, that's a much more insightful number that can tell you need to make a change and to make it right now. And your click to application rate, that number, you should have that at the same time you're acquiring the number of clicks, because that event typically happens within seconds of each other, or minutes maybe.
She is Leah Daniels, Senior Vice President of Strategy at Appcast. You can check out more at appcast.io. It's appcast.io. Leah, I cannot thank you enough for coming on here and talking about, programmatic and this very, for a lot of the industry, very new way of looking at recruiting. Thank you so much for your time and thank you for sharing your secrets of staffing success.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me, Todd. Appreciate it. It's been great fun.
Big thanks there to Leah Daniels from AppCast. Again, it's appcast.io if you'd like to find out more about them. And also, we will include a link to the benchmarking report that she had referenced in the show notes. So if you go to haleymarketing.com and go to the Secrets of Staffing Success section, you'll be able to get a direct link to that report. So this is, you know, I mentioned it during the interview. We've talked about this so many times, but it is so vitally important, and especially with those statistics that Leah shared with us. 60% of all job board visits now are coming from a mobile device. And then you look at the breakdown between the percentage of people who are actually filling out the full application on desktop as opposed to mobile. 6.3% on desktop, 4.1% on mobile. The reason there is because so many staffing firms do not have a mobile-optimized job board or a mobile-optimized application. We need to simplify things. We need to make it as easy as possible to apply for your positions. So if you're seeing a huge spike in clicks and you're seeing people going to your jobs, but you're not getting the applications, it might be the jobs, it might be the job description, but more often than not, it's just your process. So I know I've said this many times, but I always suggest to all staffing firms, go through your own application process on your mobile device. Is it easy to use? Can I very easily upload my resume? Are the questions at a minimum? You know, get the basics from your applicants. The interview process is where you can ask all your multitude of questions. Don't do it right on the application. Make it as simple as possible to start getting those numbers up, because Leah even mentioned that 6.3% and 4% applications coming through, those are trending down. So yeah, we have less candidates in the marketplace, but you need to make it easy for people who are interested in your jobs and who want to apply for your jobs, those active candidates and even the passive ones too. You know, if they're not actively looking, if they don't need a job tomorrow, and they go to your application and 10 minutes in, they're still filling out information, they're going to leave. So make it as simple as possible. And I know I've harped on this so many times, but still, we still see so many staffing firms out there without a mobile optimized job board. So that'll do it for us this week on Secrets of Staffing Success. Don't forget, you could always find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the podcast app on your Apple device, and of course, at HaleyMarketing.com. Want to thank my guest, Leah Daniels from AppCast. Again, it's AppCast, A-P-P-C-A-S-T.io. And we'll talk to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.